South African Muslim.
Okay, we're on Daf Hey Yamad Aleph. Five lines from the bottom of the two dots. Tanya, Lenten Abraisa. We're continuing on with this Yisurim Shal Ahava story, but generally we're just talking about Yisurim here. Suffering. Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, Sholish Matanes Toivos. There are three great gifts. Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael that Hashem gave to the Jewish people. V'chulam lo nasnan, but all of these gifts were only given L.L.E.D.E. Yisurin with suffering. Meaning there has to be some struggle in order to get good in this world, right? Good in this world doesn't come without struggle. So the very good stuff that Hashem gave to Jewish people, that definitely needs struggle. Eluhain, and these are the three. Torah, right? Number one, Torah is a big gift, right? But it's not going to work out if you just read in your bed before you fall asleep every night, right? That's not going to make you into somebody that knows what they're talking about. The Eretz Yisrael, this one is very real, right? The land of Israel doesn't come easy to the Jewish people, right? If you want it, you got to struggle to keep it, to get it, to keep it. Ve'olam haba, and the world to come, right? Everything that we're striving to do here in this world, preparing us for the next world, needs a struggle in order to get there. Nine. How do you know that this is true? Shinamar, the pasuk says, this is a pasuk from Tehillim again. It says, Ashrei hagever asher teyasrenuka, this is the same verse we were reading before. Praiseworthy or blessed is the man who Hashem causes to struggle or to suffer, and then he learns from his Torah. So we see there that Torah's achievement comes through struggle.
Yeah, Rabbi, I just noticed in the Siddur, I read the English side, we read that exact sentence for Wednesday at the end, in the Siddur, right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Then Wednesday.
Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, as the verse says, Ki kasher yaser ish es beno, just like a man causes his son to have suffering, meaning he's not doing it to make him suffer, he's doing it to help him grow, but from the son's perspective, it appears like suffering. That's the same thing with Hashem and us.
For sure.
Right? Hashem alikecha miyasreka. Hashem does the same to us. Right? Just like you do to your son, Hashem does to you. I know it seems like it's causing suffering, but if you looked at it from the other perspective, you'd get the fuller picture. Now, what does this have to do with the land of Israel? We'll see Basrei, because the verse right afterwards, after that one says, Ki Hashem alikecha miyviyacha, because Hashem your God is going to bring you, or is bringing you, El Eretz Tova, to the good land. You see here that they're just like you give some suffering to your son, so too that's what Hashem is doing to you in order to bring you into the land that He wants to bring you into, the good land. Ha'olam haba, the world to come. Desiv, as the pasuk says, ki ner mitzvah. This is a famous one. Ki ner mitzvah v'toyra or a candle. A candle is not a candle. This is a very interesting thing, right? What, if I ask everyone what a ner means, they'd say it means a candle, but it's specifically not a candle. It means the thing that holds the fuel for the candle. That's what a ner literally means, right? So, it's funny for Hanukkah, right? There's a whole debate about if the wax candles are kosher for ner Hanukkah. Is that called a ner even, right? Is a wax candle even called a ner? I know that it says on the package, Neros Hanukkah, right? But the question is it called a ner or not, right? Ner literally means a receptacle, right? So the ner is like the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is like the receptacle that's holding something. What's it holding? The Torah or, and the Torah is the flame, right? So that candle, which is the combination of this receptacle of the mitzvot with the flame burning inside of it, which is the Torah, is that which is defining a person's development in life.
Let me say something. The air is with body and flame.
I'm sure there, yes, I'm sure in the Rav Zeeva Shalom class.
It's on the website.
Oh, okay, I hear. I thought this was from the Rav Zeeva Shalom class. This sounds about right, but I'm just reading what it says here. Pashup Shaz, Ner is a receptacle, and that's the mitzvah. And Torah is the flame, that's the orb.
So there's no other word for candle, but like Ner is the word for candle?
What do you mean, for an actual candle?
Like you're saying, like Ner.
Like what would a wax candle be called? I think it's called Ner Shaiva. I think it's called Ner Shaiva. I think it's called the wax candle. But I think it's called the. I mean, that's what they call it today. What's it actually called in Talmudic times? I forget.
Shrana?
No, that's just an Aramaic word for Ner. So no, for Ner. It's just an Aramaic word for Ner. But I have to look again in Shabbos. In Shabbos, in the second chapter of Shabbos, they have all these wax candles.
Yeah, what we read about the little wicks.
Yeah. So over there, whatever they call it over there, you have to look up what it calls it over there. Maybe on Friday night, if you pay attention, right? If you pay attention between Kabbalah, Shabbos, and Ma'ariv, so you read Bamei Madlikin, right? Some people read it quick, some people don't read it at all, but the more familiar you are with the topic, it's very easy to read it if you just know what you're saying. It's basically like, these candles are good, these candles are not good, and these are mitzvahs you should do before you go to shul, this is what a woman should do before Shabbos starts. It's very straightforward if you just get familiar with the topic. But over there, I have to look up again to see what it calls the... I have to see what it calls wax candles. Yeah. So the pasuk there continues, V'derech chayim teicheichos musar, and the way of life is a... rebuke of Musar is a rebuke of of struggle. A rebuke of struggle.
Okay, so that is what suffering. Then? Suffering?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That the way to accomplish this Olam Haba is Derech Chaim, the way to life. What's the way of life? Not just this is the way of life here. Oh, it's the path to eternal life. Toichechos Musar.
The suffering
is a rebuke of struggle. Tani Tana Kamei Rabbi Yochanan. They taught this brisa over in front of Rav Yochanan, the following brisa, which says, "Kol ha'oisek b'Torah u'b'gmilus chasadim." Anyone who's involved in Torah study and with deeds of kindness, right, acts of kindness, right, mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro. Ve'kover es banav. Now, this one you wouldn't want to put on the list. Somebody who ends up having to bury their children, right, which means their children predecease them. So it means any one of these things independently. Mochlin lo al kol avonosav. He's granted a reprieve from all of his transgressions. So any of these things are like a full, clean slate. And definitely a horrible thing to have to go through. That's for sure. But if it happens, that is a full cleansing experience. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said back after he heard him mention this brisa. He says, "Bishlama Torah gmilus chasadim." I understand Torah and acts of kindness, because the pasuk says in Mishle in Proverbs, it says, "Bechesed veemes yichupar avo." With chesed, which is with kindness, veemes and with truth, yichupar avon, the sin will be absolved. Will be. Kapar, we have a kapar, will be atoned, right? The sin will be atoned for. Now, how do we know that chesed and what do chesed and emes mean in this context? So the Gemara says, chesed zugmilos chasadim. Chesed for sure is acts of kindness, right? Shenamar, we don't take that one, I thought that one was easy, but we're going to bring up a verse still to prove that. Shenamar, rodef tztaka v'chesed, someone who chases after tztaka and chesed, acts of kindness, yim tzachayim, will find life, right? So he's going to find his life as a. Without sin, he's going to find the real life in Olam Haba. Staka v'kavo. Not only chai, he'll find life, staka, he'll find justice. V'kavo, and even honor, he'll find. Emes zu Torah. But the word emes there is an allusion to Torah. Right? We said chesed v'emes will bring a absolution of sin. So chesed is acts of kindness. Emes, truth, is Torah. Shneimer, the verse says, emes k'nei, acquire truth, v'al timkor, and don't sell it. Right? Once you get it, don't pawn it off. Exactly what that means. Okay? So that was Rabbi Yochanan's beginning of his statement, that I understand that both Torah and Gemilus Chasadim will bring about a absolption of sin. But Kover as Banav Menayin, what's this thing about somebody who has to bury their children? God forbid. So Tanle Hahu Saba Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So this particular elder said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Asya avon avon. There's a gzeira shava where we learn the word avon, transgression, and the word avon, transgression, in two different spots. Ksiv hacha, it said here with regard to chesed and Torah that they absolve sin. It says v'chesed be'emes yechupar avon. With chesed and truth, the person's avon, his transgression avon, will be atoned for. Ksiv hasam, and then there about burying children. Right, where it says it's a curse, there are some warning that Yirmiyahu, the prophet Yirmiyahu, is giving at the time of the destruction of the first temple. He says, "Umishaleim avon avos." Hashem pays off the transgressions, the avon, of the fathers, al-cheik b'neihem, to the bosom of their children. Now,
on the curse?
Well, he's just sort of telling you what's happening. He's saying, what's going to be if we don't clean up our act? Yirmiyahu is always prophesizing about the end, and he's commenting about the end of the first base of Mikdash, and he's saying, what is going to be the devastation that is awaiting if we don't get our act together? Now, there is a big-time kasha on this, because I believe it's on the next page, maybe two pages. There's a big kasha because there's a pasuk in Chumash that we read, right, that Hashem doesn't take out his anger on the children, right?
Exactly.
So the Gemara is going to get to that eventually. Just, you have to put a pin in that for maybe a couple weeks. But the Gemara is going to get to that question, believe me, okay?
Well, if you're a Rasha, your kids aren't going to be tzaddik.
You have to find where that is. It's on... somewhere here. Somewhere here. I'm not sure exactly. You're going to get to it in a couple weeks. Within a couple weeks. But when you get there, you'll remember that I warned you. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan. So that's the end of that conversation about the three things that bring suffering and the three things that bring a clean slate. Now, this is going to be related eventually back there, but going back to Yisurin Shal Ahava now, right, to the pains of love, which are not because of any transgression according to the Ramban or according to Ramban, it must be you did something, but it's not really something that deserved this punishment. You're getting it anyways to absolve your slate. Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said further, remember yesterday we were talking about if somebody whose Talmud Torah, their learning, is limited as a result of a particular suffering, or their tefillah is limited. We had a debate about whether that's possible, that could be Yisurim Shalava, right? Maybe that it's not even possible that could be Yisurim Shalava because it's compromising your connection to Hashem in too significant a way. Yes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, more examples of things that cannot be Yisurim Shalava. Negayim, so that's tzaras, right? Is there an English word for that even?
Affliction.
I don't know. Skin affliction, right? As particular spiritual skin affliction.
That's what they say.
What?
Leprosy.
No, but it's not leprosy. It's not leprosy at all. Right? It's a spiritual affliction, right? It's a spiritual thing. Right? You have leprosy still today. There's no tzaras today. You'll see. They don't have any of these simanim even on their leprosy.
They found the cure for leprosy.
Well, even if they did, see someone who develops the symptoms, they're not the same symptoms as the symptoms of tzaras. Not exactly the same. So if a person gets tzaras, or ubanim, that previous discussion we had before, the person whose children pass away before him, that he has to bury his children, either one of those two scenarios, einan yisurin shalava, you should know neither of those are yisurin shalava, right? That has nothing to do with some bonus points that Hashem's giving you through pain. Neither of those two options could be. V'negayim lo, the Gemara says, tzaras can't be yisurin shalava, how do you know? V'hatani, we have a braisa that says, Kol mi sheyesh bo echad ma'arba maros negayim. Anyone who finds on himself one of the four different types, the different shades or different symptoms. That's right, right? Different symptoms of tzaras. One of these four specific symptoms that are different colors or different shades of this tzaras. Halalu, these ones. Einu ela mizbeach kapara. So that's a great atonement for the guy. If the guy sees the tzaras, it means Hashem is giving you an atonement for the mistake you did through this tzaras. So how bad can it be already? I'm getting an atonement. Right? So why? Maybe we could be Yisurim Shalava. Why is it so bad that it can't be an atonement? The Gemara says, well, those are two very different things. Kapara havu, Yisurim Shalava, lo havu. It could be an atonement, but it still could be too severe of a consequence to be something that could fit into the category of Yisurin Shalava. I'll tell you, the Maharal says that the common denominator between all the things the Gemara mentions that can't be Yisurin Shalava, he says, are because they make it so that you cannot resemble Hashem in your actions, right? The key way of developing yourself in this world is Mahu Afata, just like you see Hashem is doing something, so you try to replicate that behavior in a particular way, right? So these things on this list are limiting you from being like Hashem, right? Torah is understanding, right? So you can't understand things, so for sure it can't be, right? Tzaras, you have to leave the whole cave. You have to go outside the Jewish people. How am I supposed to be a functioning member of society, somebody who's involved in all the mitzvahs, Bein Adam L'Chavero, if I'm living by myself in the desert, right? Like a hermit, right? I cannot function the way Hashem functions in the world, right? By being a giver to other people if I'm all by myself. That can't work. And the last one about banim, right, about children, is that Hashem is a creator, we want to be a creator. If you can't have children, can't possibly be a Yisurin Shalava. If a person cannot have children, that can't be a Yisurin Shalava, that has to be something else. good kashas with the patriarchs and matriarchs that they weren't able to have children for a long time. Ultimately, they did, though, and it could be that Hashem just wanted their davening. That's really what the Midrashim say there. Hashem ultimately was going to give them, but it just wanted more of their davening to help them grow as human beings. But that wasn't even Yisurim Shalava either, for the interim. But if a person cannot have children, that's how the Maharal learns. Anything that prevents you from being like Hashem or connecting to Hashem through replicating His actions, mimicking His actions, it cannot be Yisurim Shalava. That's the common denominator amongst all these things we're seeing on this page. So the Gemara is just pointing out right now that
it's... For us, you don't have to leave the camp, maybe?
No.
No, you have to leave for us. Once it's mukhla, you have to leave.
Taras is Taras.
So, what the Gemara is pointing out here is it's true. It's a kapara. Taras is a big atonement. And it's better you got the Taras than you didn't get the Taras, because now you have an atonement. But at the same time, you can't say that that's Yisurim Shel Ahava. It must be that it's an atonement for something. Right? Atonement, right? This is actually a big time proof like the Rambad. Right, because the Gemara is trying to say, oh, you see, it could be Yisurim Shel Ahava because it's a kapara, it's an atonement. What's Rashi talking about? Rashi says there's no aver here. What kapara would there be? Right, Hashem's just giving you tzaras for no reason. And the Gemara is saying, no, the fact you get kapara is a proof that it should be Yisurim Shel Ahava. Well, what proof? I thought Rashi told me Yisurim Shel Ahava, there's no transgression. Right, so this is a big kasha on Rashi's approach. But the Gemara answers and says, no, these are two separate things. Kapara is one thing. Just because you're getting an atonement for it doesn't mean that this is the bonus group of Yisurim Shel Ahava. This is a kapara that you really needed because you were in line exactly for needing this kapara. This isn't a bonus kapara to clean your slate. And Yisurim Shel Ahava, Lord, it can't be Yisurim Shel Ahava again because it removes you from the camp.
So, yeah. So anything that fixes existing fixes a problem is not a bonus. You're just returning to...
Well, that's what Rashi said, right? The Ramban, we said that, no, Yisurim Shel Ahava is coming to combat a Aveira. It's just more severe. You're getting a more intense version here, right? You're getting a more intense version. But there is still something you did wrong, so the language of Kapara is appropriate by Yisurim Shel Ahava. According to Rashi, it seems like very hard to read these lines. I don't know how Rashi would read these lines, to be honest. And he doesn't tell you. Okay, so let's move on. The Ibai say, I'll give you another answer about this Tzaras question. You say, oh, Tzaras is a Kapara, but you're telling me it's not Yisurim Shel Ahava. How could that be? So the first answer is, yeah, there's two different things. There's Kapara and there's Yisurim Shel Ahava. Second answer says, Halan v'halahu. It depends where you live. Now, what is this? Where you live. Now, today, this is, I don't know if it's going to be applicable at all. This is a big debate here between Rashi and Tosfos, what this means. What would this depend on where you live? Just go with the simple pshat, like Tosfos says, that in the land of Israel, people are much more careful about taharas, about whether they're pure or impure. So the laws of taharas are much more practical, that the guy's impure. But in land of Babel, no one's really very practical about taharas already anyways, like we're not, right? About things that are tahor and tameh, you're not really so careful with all these things. And therefore, what's the big deal if the guy's at taharas anyways? So maybe we don't even have to leave the compound, right? And therefore, that guy might be a Yisurim Shel Ahava. He doesn't have to go anywhere, right? Because he doesn't have to leave. But in Eretz Yisrael, where they're very careful about taharas, and they would have to leave the camp, right, in the city. So there it could not be a Yisurim Shel Ahava. That's the second answer. That's the way Tosfos understands. I think that's just the simplest reading of the Gemara.
Did Tzaras disappear after prophecy disappeared as well?
Somewhere around that time.
No more. Because I heard it said that you have to be very holy. You have to be very holy to begin with to even get Tzaras.
That's probably true.
Like, it's like you have to be on an incredible level to get that kind of skin rash.
I heard the same thing about the shaving. When you're at a high level, Hashem has to balance the kadosh with the tamid.
Saying the time in history where that is very true.
Level,
this is something that I've given a lot of thought about. I used to explain. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I used to explain miracles, right? Why you don't see miracles the same way that they're depicted in Chumash. So, say, well, it's just like a mathematical equation, right? That Hashem has to provide us with free will, right? So if there's a miracle, a crazy miracle happening every day, so it's not really the same type of decision we have here of how we want to keep Hashem in our lives. If there's just some constant inspirational miracle we can turn to every single day, right? It's not the same level of self-motivation that's required and free will that's used. That being said, so that happened for like 1,500 years. So what was all the free will for the first 1,500 years of the Jewish people? So it's a simple equation that just needs to be balanced out on the other side with a big-time desire for Avodah Zarah, right? Which we also have no idea what that is, right? We have no idea why everybody and their mother was right finding the next idol that they could like defecate, whatever they would do to these idols, right? We don't have to get into details. But whatever they would be doing with these idols, right? Why is this such an appealing thing, right? When you look at the stories of how they would even worship the idols, it's almost unbelievable that this is like a spiritual practice. Like, for example, right, like the Baal Peor is the one they just go and defecate on, right? Like, this is like what their spirituality was about. Like, why was this appealing to anybody? So we don't really understand, right? I mean, this doesn't exist in the world. And it's not a coincidence that the same time when the rabbi, nobody prayed for miracles to stop, right? No one asked the miracles to stop. But what they did pray for is the Avodah Zarah to go away, right? And as soon as they prayed for the Avodah Zarah to go away, boom, we don't find there's any miracles anymore. Right? It seems like this was just a natural equation.
So miracles require nothing.
But I'm saying this whole system of overt spirituality was balanced out by this extreme Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Right? That once you take off one half of the equation, so the spirituality, overt spirituality falls away and Hashem becomes hidden in the world. It's the only way to keep the... Otherwise, it would be too difficult. Right, we'd have, or it would be too simple. We'd have all, yeah, it would be too simple. You'd have all the Avodah Zarah leave, and you'd only have all these miracles, and then there'd be really no self-motivation, no free will involved in the relationship you have with thinking about Hashem in your life.
Doesn't it become conservation of energy? My personal opinion is I think that when the miracles left, the science began. That's what it is. Our new miracles are the technological world, but they're right in front of our faces. And if anything is
they don't accomplish the same thing though. Those miracles don't create the same awareness and inspiration of God on a daily basis. In fact, if anything, they create the opposite.
That's what I'm saying. That's where it went.
I hear. But in terms of the way I'm saying that, the reason why I started this off by saying that's the way I used to explain it, even though that makes a lot of sense. So I think that makes a lot of sense, and it's true.
What changed?
It's 100% true. Is after I learned Navi a little bit better, I realized that it's deeper than just two things on a equation. Oh, there's one thing on this side of the equation. There's another thing on the other side of the equation. They have to balance out. They're more intrinsically linked. These things on the two sides of the equation. The pshat is that there was a spiritual awakening that was going on with all these miracles, right? So automatically, the spiritual awakening, when people were, their spiritual understanding was elevated, and they were living on a different plane of reality, of understanding how the spiritual and the physical worlds connected. Now, a person who's much more in tune and in touch with the spirituality of what's going on in the world and themselves is going to have a very different Yetzer Hara, right? What is the Yetzer Hara going to be like for somebody who has this level of understanding of spirituality in the world? So what's very interesting is, if you've noticed, if you just look at your own Yetzer Hara, very infrequently does our Yetzer Hara have desires of spirituality that are different from Judaism. Our Yetzer Hara usually just sticks to the physical world, right? But he doesn't have spiritual fantasies, which is a sad thing. Why not? Why does it not use it? Because we're not even on the spiritual level to have spiritual fantasies that are bad, right? So when you don't have a spiritual awareness of what's going on in the world, you don't have spiritual fantasies like Avodah Zarah. So the rabbis of the Knesset and Sheikh Knesset Gedola, right, at the beginning of the Second Temple, so they davened for Avodah Zarah to go away. Hashem says, great, how am I going to do that? I got to take away your Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. How is that coming to you? It's coming to you because you've got this heightened spiritual awareness, which creates a Yetzer Hara in the fantasy world, in the spiritual fantasy world, right? So you want to get rid of that? Fine, so we got to get rid of the heightened spiritual awareness. It's the only way. It's more intrinsic, not just like there's two things that are separate on the side of the equation. Fine, you don't want this, I have to take away this. No, they're much more linked. Is the reason you're getting the fantasy for Avodah Zarah is because of your heightened spiritual awareness. So you want to get rid of the heightened spiritual, fine, you got to get knocked down a peg in your spiritual understanding. That's the way I understood after Navi. It makes it even deeper this way, right?
It's a zero-sum game.
Right, but they're linked. It's not just that it's an equation, that they're two independent things. These are intrinsic. Physically linked.
Source. Yeah. So that's like the two levels of soul, like the nefesh and the ruach. So you just got rid of the higher level, and we're just stuck with physical physicality. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're pushing for spirituality, but our fantasies don't include that because our perception of reality doesn't truly include it either.
So how can
our perception of reality is much more physically based? So our fantasies are physical.
So how can we even get it if we don't even have access?
You create an awareness. The more you create an awareness of Hashem, the more you elevate your own understanding of spirituality in the world, and the more you put yourself in danger for Avodah Zarah, as we're understanding here. Right? But the point is that this is every stage a person has in life. This is what they say. You say, oh, the greater a person is, the greater their Yetzer Hara is. And you're just like, I don't understand. There's no way. Like, if I was consistently avoiding negativity throughout decades and decades, how am I still I'm more tempted? Well, there's different things you're tempted by. You create a new Yetzer Hara through this new understanding of the world that you didn't have, you weren't even exposed to before.
It's too esoteric.
Too esoteric? I thought this was Mamish making it real. I thought this was a very way of taking these ideas and making it more real. Yeah. Anyways, so that's the second answer. Second answer is depends where you live, whether or not Negoim, Tzaras, is going to be the Yisur Shavar. It depends if how seriously people take this, if they're going to throw you out of the city or not, right? If they don't throw you out, then big deal, right? No biggie. It depends where on your body it is, right? If it's covered up or it's exposed. Because here it's making it sound like, according to this answer, that it's really other people's understanding of your spiritual ailment is what causes the separation between you and them. If no one's going to know about it, then maybe they won't know about it. Okay, so that's Nagai. Last point.
Farhesia is not like public.
In public. Farhesia is public.
It's not Yisrael.
That's right. Ubanim. Right, Rashi's Bitsina was Tachas Begadav. Under his clothes was Bitsina. So the opposite of that is out in the open where people could see. Ubanim loy. What about the bearing the children? That's not Yisurim Shalava. Maybe bearing the children is also Yisurim Shalava. Hey, Chidami. Well, what kind of children are we talking about? Here, actually, the truth is over here, we didn't say bearing the children. I just connected it to the previous point. All we said here is children are not Yisurim Shalava. So the question is, what type of tragedy with children are we talking about here that is not Yisurim Shalava? Hey, Chidami. Ilema de Havalu Umesu. If you tell me the guy had kids and the kids died, so like he had to bury his children... So actually, the Gemara says that actually could be Yisurim Shalava, right? That actually could be. Because the guy still had children. He still had the ability to do that action, according to the Maharal, like we were saying before, of mimicking Hashem to a degree. That doesn't last forever for anybody, right? The having young kids doesn't last forever for anybody. But this guy had a much more tragic end to it, but it's still apparently possible that is Yisurim Shalava, that it is pains of love. Because we see a story of Hamar of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan himself, who quoted this halacha, right? He himself, who said, children are not Yisurim Shalava. What he did was, now he had a lot of children that died. Rav Yochanan, I think he had 10 children that died, right? So he said, Dein Garma, this bone, the Asirai beer, he has this the bone of his 10th dead child who, like, he hangs around his neck.
What?
Now, there's all kinds of tumah shilas with this, but let's leave those aside. Let's leave those aside, right? Never want to shake a Cohen's hand after this, right? But aside from any of the tumah shilas that you have over here, the Gemara is assuming that if he wore it off, and so he wore it on his neck, and he used to tell people, he used to say, this bone! He used to tell this story all the time. Now, if this was just some punishment for his transgressions, I don't think he would have been showing this off. Right? It must be demonstrating that even like a person who's experienced a tremendous amount of suffering can still move past it and still live a fulfilled life.
Even others, right? He's going to people who lost sons.
Right, exactly. That's usually when he made this statement, right? He would go to some Shiva and he would say, you know, this is the bone of my 10th son, like, trust me, you don't have as bad as me or whatever. He would try to use it to console other people. However, the point is he wouldn't have even done that if it wasn't Yisurim Shalava. This was like some sin that he's reminding that, oh, look, I killed my 10th son also, right, because of my transgression, right? So if that wasn't Yisurim Shalava, then he wouldn't be showing it off. So it must be that if a person's sons die after he had them, so that actually could be Yisurim Shalava, otherwise Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't be showing it off. Ella, so what is the case where Rabbi Yochanan meant himself when he said, children is not Yisurim Shalava? What was he talking about? Elahad the lohavule cloud. Talking about somebody who was never able to have children. Bahad the havule umesu. And when a person is able to have and they pass away, that could be Yisurim Shalava. But we're saying here's a person who's never able to have children. That cannot be Yisurim Shalava. How are we doing? We got a couple minutes. So that's as far as I got. Okay. Now we have a couple more minutes. Here we go. Let's go a little bit more. Let's see if I get stuck. Rabbi Yochanan Chalash. Rabbi Yochanan got sick. Oh, I'm not going to get stuck. These are easy. I just don't understand what it means. But I know what it says. I just don't really get it. Right. So Rabbi Yochanan got sick. All the Gabi Reb Chanina. So he went up to visit Reb Chanina. Amar Lei Chaviven Alecha Yisurin. Reb Chanina said, do you value these sufferings you're experiencing? Right, Rabbi Yochanan's very sick, so he says, maybe you want to keep it, right? Maybe you think it's like Yisur B'Shalava or whatever. I wouldn't give you the medicine if you're enjoying this experience. Meaning you're happy that you're going through this experience, right? You're willing to take on the Yisurim, meaning Chavivin Alecha, are they precious to you, these pains? Meaning you want to keep them because they're helping you grow.
If you accept them with love, then...
Right, that's what we said. Right, he's really asking, aren't these a certain shalava, right? Are you accepting them with love, or are they just doing nothing here, right?
Is this being flippant to him? You're sick and...
No, he's asking him. No, because he said he's gonna miraculously heal him if he wants to. But he just wants to know, before I miraculously heal, maybe you'd actually prefer to have the sickness because it's helping you to get past some issue. Like we said, struggle gets you Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba. Maybe there's some value in you continuing along with the struggle. But he's every Yochanan says actually negative. I'm related lohen velo scharet. I don't want them or their reward. Right? I don't want anything to do with these Yisurim anymore. I've had enough. Right? So he says, no problem. I'm related havli yadcha. Give me your hand. So he gave him his hand, the okme, and he got him up, meaning he healed him up. Did I just skip?
He started with the.
I did skip. Yeah, I skipped. I skipped the story. That was the second story. The first story is they're all the same. That's why I made him say. Reb Chiya Bar Abba Chalash. Reb Chiya Bar Abba got sick. I'm reading this out of order. This is the previous story. Oh, the Gabe Reb Yochanan. He went to Reb Yochanan this time. The second story, Reb Yochanan was the one that got sick, right? So Reb Chiya Bar Abba got sick. He went to Reb Yochanan. I'm a Leich. I've even a Lechi Yisurim. Reb Yochanan said to him, you want the Yisurim? They're the precious to you. I'm a Leich. Lo hen velo scharan. Don't want them. Don't want the reward. I'm a Leich. Have the Yatcha. Gave him his hand. So Reb Yochanan revived Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Then Reb Yochanan got sick. So he went to Rabbi Chanina, a different rabbi, and the same story happened. Then he said, give me your hand, and he revived him. So the Gemara says, well, if Rabbi Yochanan was able to revive, why did he just do it himself? Right? Why do you have to go elsewhere? Right? Amai lokim Rabbi Yochanan l'nashe. Why did Rabbi Yochanan just heal himself? Amrei ein chavush matriyatum beis asurim. The guy who's in jail can't unlock the gate. Right? He needs somebody else to... Somebody else who's not behind bars needs to let you out of jail. That's the only way to get it.
Is that a general...
I don't know. They have those cartoons where the guy fishes for the keys and then he... But I think that's a cartoon. I don't think that's a reality. That he's actually fished themselves out of jail.
So you don't... So there are no self... There are no self miracles. There isn't kind of like fixing your... It has to require somebody else to do it. That's right.
To get you healthy, right? Either you can daven, but someone to give you a miraculous cure, that needs to come from us. We'll stop here.